this episode is called The Coca-Cola Bottle, and it's really demonstrating how many little shakes can add up to really unsettling a child. So I want you to imagine a Coca-Cola bottle getting more and more fizzy as each thing happens to a child. And we're going to really look at the start of a school day, because quite often by the time they arrive there, they're well and truly shook up. Possibly they've had a very disturbed night. Haven't slept well, maybe it's too hot, too cold, maybe they've been having nightmares. Maybe part of their condition is that they have a disrupted sleep pattern. But either way, a bad night's sleep. So let's shake the bottle. Then they may get woken up at the wrong time in their sleep cycle, too early. Or maybe they've woken up and nobody's around. Shake the bottle. Next would be getting out of bed. And like most normal teenagers, I think they often would prefer to be head under the duvet and just enjoying the warmth of the bed. So parent comes in, duvet comes off, warmth goes out, shake the bottle. Let's imagine now that the next step in this would be to have their breakfast. You and I probably choose when we want to eat our breakfast, how much we want to eat, what we want to eat. Let's now imagine the special needs child. Maybe they're not hungry. And maybe they can't communicate that to you. Maybe they don't want Weetabix. Perhaps they want Cocoa Pops. And again, maybe there's no choice. Maybe they can't communicate. So shake the bottle for not being hungry and shake the bottle for not being able to make a choice. They may be frustrated by not being able to communicate what they want to eat. Shake the bottle. There may not be enough choices. Shake the bottle. The food you've given them may be too hot, too cold, not sweet enough. Shake the bottle. There may be not enough food. Shake the bottle. There may be too much food. Shake the bottle. And so on. By now, there's a lot of fizz building up in that bottle and we haven't even got washed and dressed. The next stage, the bathroom. Now, most of us enjoy a peaceful shower, a time to reflect, some time on our own, some privacy. That's not the case with a special needs child. Most of us are able to clean our own teeth. Maybe we actually like doing it. Maybe it feels good. Just for a moment, imagine having your teeth cleaned for you because you can't do it properly yourself or because you're refusing. Well, I can't think of anything worse. Someone shoving a toothbrush with toothpaste on it into my mouth. Let's shake the bottle twice. Once for not having the privacy. Once for having your teeth cleaned. And let's give it an extra shake because I actually think having your teeth cleaned for you would be horrible. When I was a small child, my mum used to wash my face with a flannel and I to this day hate that. I can't imagine anything worse than someone coming at you with a flannel and washing your face. Shake the bottle. Most people do not like other people brushing their hair or combing it. Shake the bottle again. So I think you can see that personal hygiene routine in the morning can be really stressful if you're having things done to you or can't do it yourself, so need help. Maybe it's a bit rushed now because I'm thinking perhaps the parents' bottle's been well and truly shaken at this point. Next, getting dressed. So many of the children with special needs also have sensory issues. For example, they don't like labels that stick into them. The seams are too lumpy. The clothes are too thick, too thin, too warm, too cold, the wrong colour. They don't want to wear their coat. their shoes are uncomfortable. And a lot of these things are subtle and therefore difficult to communicate. Even with children who've got a degree of language, they're difficult to communicate. So let's, for a moment, imagine it's a new school uniform, shake the bottle. With an itchy label, shake the bottle. Plus, you don't like the colour, shake the bottle. Your shoes are new and stiff, shake the bottle. I once had a friend who homeschooled seven children, and at the conference that I heard her speak, she got up and said, "I homeschool my children because I can't find seven pairs of shoes that fit." And I thought, that's a great reason for homeschooling your children. And I think shoes that fit are a big issue for special needs children. I just think we need to be aware of those things. I once had a kid who was crying a lot, and it turned out that his sock was ruffled up at the toe, so pressing on his little toe in his shoe, and he couldn't communicate that. Eventually, we worked out what it was, and his little toe was all red. Just one of the many things that can cause a student to be shaking that bottle. Next, most special needs children don't walk to school with their parents or their siblings or their friends. Mostly, they come in taxis or minibuses, and quite often it can be a long journey. Often there are three or four other students, and depending where they are on the route, they can be up to an hour in a taxi. So let's shake the bottle for the length of the journey, and let's think about the other things in the taxi that could cause them to shake their bottle. Maybe it arrives too early or too late. Shake the bottle. Perhaps the escort is different. Shake the bottle. Perhaps someone's sitting in their favourite seat. Shake the bottle. Perhaps the music that's being played is too loud. Not your choice of music. Shake the bottle. Are all the other children in the minibus behaving? Are they calm? Or are some of them also quite wound up and beginning to display annoying behaviours? Shake the bottle. The traffic can get congested. You can get held up. You can go a different route. All of these things can cause the bottle to be shaken. When they've arrived at school, it might be too early and they may have to wait 20 minutes on a taxi already wound up. Arriving too early, a long wait on the taxi. Maybe you don't want to get off the taxi. Maybe the music's great. Maybe it's nice and warm. Maybe it's raining out there or windy, or you see a student you dislike, shake the bottle. Finally, you get to the school door. A lot of congestion, shake the bottle. Then you've got the journey to make to your classroom. Perhaps someone's meeting you, but you know how to get there yourself, shake the bottle. Perhaps nobody's there to meet you and you feel confused or worried, shake the bottle. And finally, you arrive in the classroom, well and truly shaken up. Now, the job of the teacher and the staff in the classroom is to make sure that everything's good for learning that day and each student is in the right place to learn. I'm sure you agree with me now that there's a lot of fizz in that bottle. And before they can begin to learn, we have to make sure that if we take the top off the bottle, it's not going to fizz right over, cover the whole classroom with Coca-Cola, and cause an absolute mess. So what are we going to put in place to help those bubbles die down, the fizz die down, and the bottle ready to be opened? First of all, we need to make sure that our classroom is welcoming and consistent, and that we have good knowledge of the students. Not all students will be worried by any of these things, but some will, and some will be to a greater degree. So know your student. Know what they like to do to calm down. know what routines they like. So if you know a student's going to come in really het up and the bottle really fizzy, perhaps there are students who, if they're allowed to go outside and walk around in peace and quiet, will calm down fairly quickly. Perhaps there are students who needs to just sit in a calm, quiet place. Perhaps they're a student who likes to do something that they're very familiar with. So, for example, colouring. Knowing your student and knowing what they need to calm down is a great place to start. Once all the students are in class and hopefully beginning to calm down, does your morning routine stress them out, or is it something that they can expect and relate to, something that's not really demanding, something that unites the group, a common purpose that they're all working towards? These things will really help. I once decided that I was going to surprise the students by setting the classroom up as a cave, because I was going to work on a book that had a cave, thinking it would be really exciting. It's safe to say we had one of the worst mornings ever, and it was a very valuable lesson for me. I changed everything about what they were expecting when they walked in the door. Think about all the things that can cause that bottle to be shaken up, and then put it in context of a child who has very poor communication skills and many additional problems, and really think about how we can calm the child down, how we can defizz the Coke before taking the lid off and getting ready to learn. It's not just the morning routine that can cause the Coke bottle to get well and truly shaken. It's also lunchtime, very stressful time for a lot of children. Playtime can be very stressful. And anything special that's going on in the school, such as a school Christmas concert or a school disco, visitors coming into the classroom, all those things can cause the Coke bottle to get shaken, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to particularly watch out for the students most vulnerable to shaking. So keep in mind the Coca-Cola bottle. You can't teach until that fizz is gone and the top can be safely taken off. I was first told this story about 23 years ago by a very, very knowledgeable head teacher, and it served me really well. I wanted to finish today's episode with a fizzy drink story, not quite Coca-Cola, but here we go. This story is about a student whose part of his morning routine was to come in. A TA would then open his rucksack and give him his homeschool book, which he would then bring to me. The homeschool book is a great idea because it allows home and school to directly communicate when communication via the child isn't very consistent or useful. So on this particular morning, he came in, the TA opened his bag, he took his book to bring to me, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see the TA take out of his bag a can of well-known lager. And I just looked at her and she looked at me, and we put it back in his bag and put his bag in his locker. We didn't want to ask him about it because we could see that that might lead to a tricky situation. This same student normally bought in bottles of fizzy water, one each day, and he had to have that fizzy water at break. It had to be drank out of the small bottle. It couldn't be out of anything else. I once got a severe beating because I poured the contents of it into a yellow cup, and he didn't like yellow cups. So the can of lager went into his locker, and Later on in the day, during my lunch break, I phoned up Mum and said, I was just concerned because we found a can of lager in his bag. And she was like, no way. And I'm like, it must have come from home. And she went, now that really explains something. So I said, well, I don't think it's, you know, I think this is the first time it's come into school. She said, yes, but I accused my husband of drinking his lager far too fast. So now I'm wondering if, in fact, it's been drunk by our son. So I said, well, we've never detected it on his breath and he hasn't brought it into school before. She said, leave it with me and I'll get back to you tomorrow. She did think it was very funny, great sense of humour. And I went back to class and we avoided the car, the lager incident by just providing him with fizzy water. Anyway, the next day, Mum phoned school and said, we've discovered over 30 cans of the lager under his bed. I'm like, okay, were they full or empty? She said, they're empty. I'm like, oh no. And she said, when we confronted him, he took the can and he held it up and he went, Carlsberg. Carl is his name. So Mum and Dad just burst out laughing and said, Carlsberg. Okay. So Dad's had to change to a different lager and he's quite happy because the new lager doesn't have his name written on it. But I just love that story where I didn't even know he could read his name. He certainly never showed us that. And the fact that he'd been quietly having a canon each day and putting it under his bed. Anyway, I thought it's quite a fun way to end each podcast. I hope you have a great day or you've had a great day, and please take care. If you found this episode useful, please share it or subscribe.